one of fear, and one of grace. Our reading from the letter to the Hebrews would have snapped the attention of the original readers. While one mountain is mentioned explicitly, the other would have been known simply by the language that was used to describe it. The mountain of fear would have instantly been recognized as Mount Sinai. These two mountains were used to jerk the attention of the reader back onto what was and remains important. A strong, practiced, and unwavering faith in God through Jesus the Christ. The writer accomplishes this very strong opinion about Christ in a very visceral way. It was the mountain of fear, Mount Sinai, where God came to give the tablets of the law. It was Mount Sinai that was covered in darkness and gloom and tempest. This was not a fun thing to remember for the Hebrews, as they still retained that shameful memory of the golden calf. That calf, the symbol of a redeemed people who had returned to the old ways, forgetting the deliverance from slavery, forgetting that God had protected them from Pharaoh, the mighty walls of the Red Sea rising up to either side of them so that they might escape by dry land. All of this forgotten. And then the writer brings right to the front that wonderful image of Mount Zion in Jerusalem, a hill of power and God's sacrifice, a symbol of God's everlasting love for His people, a love so great that He would give His only begotten Son to save the whole world. The underlying issue for this author was to remind the Hebrew people that to go back to a rigid set of laws would only return them to the experience of God's mighty wrath brought down at Mount Sinai. No one wanted to relive that again. And if we have forgotten, I encourage you to go and reread chapters 32 and 33 of the book Exodus. It's not pleasant. The writer wants to know, would the Hebrews turn their face away from the mountain of grace in order to return to the mountain of wrath? Friends, it's clear in our daily lives, our daily spiritual walk, that one can meet God in two different places. One can return to Mount Sinai, where the unmediated holiness of God would strike fear in his or her heart. Remember the law. If you were not 100% righteous, the moment you stepped into the presence of God, you would die. Who would ever try to meet our Lord God in a place like that? A person would have to be completely blind to their own spiritual state to take a chance like that. And yet this letter, this very letter, is dissuading a group of people away from this very action. Why would someone who has been exposed to the loving grace of the gospel turn their back on it and attempt to fulfill the law? But look, humans do this all the time, don't we? Don't we say that if we are sincere and keep the commandments, you know, most of them, this will be okay with God? Think about that. The problem is that from a biblical perspective, this is simply not true. If it were true, Jesus would not have had to die for our sins, because we would have been able to keep the strict law of Moses by our mere intention. The world wants believers to put faith in themselves, not Jesus, to discover our own inner child and let him or her run free, not to be tangled up in all this Jesus stuff. This is pride, and this is wishful thinking. Hardly protection against meeting God at Mount Sinai, where even Moses was fearful. The writer to the Hebrews reminds the people of what they had achieved with faith in our Lord Christ. The writer wanted his people to meet God on the mountain of grace. God understands the human heart. He created it. He designed a better way for his people because he saw the hoops they were jumping through in order to convince themselves and themselves only that they were being good without keeping the law. Mount Zion, the mountain of grace, was a place that would stand as a reminder of God's love through the sacrifice of his only son, Jesus of Nazareth. Through faith in Jesus, the people would approach the city of the living God, as the writer of Hebrews laid down. They would be a part of the gathering of angels. They would be possessors of heaven itself. They would come to a judge who is God of all. They would count on being made perfect, have a relationship with the mediator of the covenant of grace, and finally, they would be sealed by the blood given on their behalf. When it's laid out like this, right-thinking people would make a choice to return to Jesus. But humans have a pride that is not shared by any other creature on God's earth. Still, and we know people still would rather go it alone rather than to rely on God's free promise and surety in Christ our Lord. They would risk the very wrath of God as foreshadowed on the Mount of Sinai rather than to simply open their hearts and confess their wrongdoing to a perfect Savior who already knows everything and is so ready and willing to forgive. So look, for us, the question remains today. Which mountain are we to choose? Do we meet God on the Mount of Fear or on the Mount of Grace? The choice is ours. Our Lord Jesus points the way to the Mount of Grace, to God who so willingly forgives everything, who only asks that we come to him on bended knee. I pray we go to the Mount of Grace. Our Lord God has seen us as we really are, and he has gone the furthest mile by offering his only Son, Jesus, who so willingly gave himself for us. Would you pray with me now? Accept, O Lord, our thanks and praise for all that you have done for us. We thank you for those disappointments and failures that lead us to acknowledge our dependence on you alone. Above all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the truth of his word and the example of his life, for his steadfast obedience by which he overcame temptation, for his dying through which he overcame death, and for his rising to life again, in which we are raised to the life of your kingdom. Grant us the gift of your Spirit, that we may know Christ and make him known, and through him, at all times and in all places, may give thanks to you in all things, through Christ our Lord. Amen.